Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everybody joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you for worshiping with us as well. There is a vacation Bible school meeting right after morning worship this morning. If you have signed up or told Mary you will help and you don't stay after church, she may hunt you down. I don't know. She didn't say that, but so don't forget about that if you were helping with vacation Bible school. There is a lot of food and drinks down in the Family Life Center for the Good News classroom. And Pastor Jack took a beating during our Sunday school class because we don't have a party schedule like they do. So if you are in the Good News class, don't forget about the get-together down in the Family Life Center after church. Choir practice at 4:45 today. Choir members, you know who you are. And then Good News small group meeting tonight at 6 p.m. Of course, we'll have regular Wednesday night activities, and then the ladies' Bible study will be this Friday at 11:15. What do we have coming up next weekend, other than Memorial Day?
Revival.
Very good. Can't slip anything by you guys. So, Reverend Billy Huddleston will be with us on from the 24th to the 27th. So, we do have some flyers out in the foyer. If you know of anywhere good to post those, grab some of those as you go. Tell people about that. And we're excited to have him. He always does a fabulous job. In addition to inviting people and making sure people are aware, make sure you are in prayer for our revival and that it will truly be a time of revival for the church. So, don't forget about that. One other thing I want to mention is we've mentioned before, but we have the Bread of Life sign-up sheet out in the foyer. And so there's a fresh sheet out there for the meal for June. And so the money for those items or the items themselves are supposed to be in by June 3rd. So please make sure that you sign up and do that. Normally we're feeding anywhere from 65 to 75 people as we help out with that. And Wayne and Jane do a fabulous job along with their helpers. But we need to make sure we're supporting them by bringing in those items or supporting that financially. And finally, it is approaching summertime, and so with summertime comes what on Wednesday nights? Very good, Samantha. Thank you. So the first one is on June 3rd, and it is the Good News class, and it is a talent show. I was looking at the list this morning, and quite a few of you all have signed up. There's a pretty good list for talent items, but if you have not had a chance to sign up, please make sure you do that so that STAR knows how to plan and scheduling everybody and getting that lined up. But don't forget about that, and we're excited for Samantha and what the council has done to get that schedule for the rest of the summer. All right, I think that's it. Thank you all for joining us.
Steve and Gracie are on vacation, so you stuck with me today. How about that? Let's stand as we sing, as we worship the Lord.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Yes, He died for me, through the Son said.
Not against me, I am who you say I am.
Pastor William's going to be speaking some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended, according to the Gospel of Matthew. It's the passage commonly known as the Great Commission. What it is we're to do as Christians, what it is, or by whose power it is we do what we do, and what it might mean for us if we do what he tells us to do. And so a very similar passage comes from the mouth of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 into 6. So I'm going to read this for us. If you would listen prayerfully and reflect upon whose authority you are living your life and what it means to live in accordance with the will of God, that'll make sense. So please join me as we pray through this passage of Scripture. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we are going to begin with verse 16 and read down through verse 20. For the past few Sundays, except for ministry fair and then last Sunday for Mother's Day, we've been looking at the events that followed Easter. We've talked about the two that were on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus appeared to them. We talked about Thomas and all of his doubts. Then Pastor Jack talked to us about Peter and his encounter with Jesus on the beach. Today, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 28. Now, there is a danger in going to Matthew chapter 28. And that danger is this. It has become so familiar to us that we don't hear it anymore. Does that make sense? It has become so familiar to us that we really don't pay attention to it anymore. That they say that if you see something for 30 days that's really out of place, say something happens here in the church and something's out of kilter, if you walk by it for 30 days, they say after that 30-day period of time, you don't even notice anymore that it's not right. I think it's the same thing with our hearing. I think a whole lot of times we hear things and we hear things and we hear things and we hear things and we hear things. And then somebody repeats it, and because we've heard it so much, we don't hear it. I mean, when I was a kid, we lived just across the street from a railroad track. And when we first moved to Cartersville, I'm telling you, that train, when it went through every night about 3 o'clock, you know, we heard it for the first month, and after that we began not to pay attention to it. It got to the point, this really happened, it got to the point that one night that train derailed on those tracks right behind the houses across the street. It derailed across, and we didn't even know it. Till we get up the next morning and Mom's cooking breakfast, she looks out the window and she says, I wonder what all that is going on across the street. Their bedroom, my bedroom, a little bit of yard, a street, another house, and the train tracks. And it derailed and we never heard it. Sad thing is, we get that way a whole lot of times when preachers preach. Y'all did hear that, didn't you? You know, we just get sometimes where we just don't pay attention. Listen to what Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16 says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 28, you're basically going to find that it seems to be kind of a synopsis of the whole resurrection story. In verses 1 through 8, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are going to the tomb. And in this period of time, an earthquake has happened. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus has been resurrected. And when he appears, and when the angels appear, the guards are so frightened that Matthew says they became like dead men. The angel who is there speaks to these women and says to them, beginning with verse 5, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So these women hurry off to tell the disciples. I love how Matthew, in his description of this, as they're running off to tell the disciples, he adds these words, that they were afraid yet filled with joy. Matthew always was one for understatement. I think that word afraid just absolutely is an understatement. But I also think when he says they were filled with joy, I think he's telling us the truth there. Something has happened, and they are filled with joy, and on the way, they meet Jesus. And he instructs them to go tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples. In the meantime, the guards have come to their senses, and they rush to tell the Jewish leaders what has happened. Now, being the good politicians, and by that I mean liars, by being the good politicians, being the good politicians that they were, they concocted a story to cover up the truth. And Matthew adds there in verse 15, "And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Joseph Goebbels said, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it." The disciples go to Galilee, to the mountain that Jesus had told them to go. And once again, I love when I read this in Matthew, because Matthew kind of lets us in on what is really going on in all this situation. He says there that when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some say he's speaking of the 11, the disciples. Some say he's speaking of other followers. It really doesn't matter, because the truth of the matter is that I think there are sometimes that even the truth is very hard to comprehend. And sometimes what we see, we find very hard to believe. And the other thing that I look at with these people is, as they've gone through all this, their whole world had been turned upside down. Nothing was as they expected it to be. And it's at this point, after Jesus is there and they see him and they've worshiped him, Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This week, as I was working on the sermon, I had worked for 2 days and didn't have a title. And Sharon was helping in the office this week, and she was putting the bulletin together, and she asked me for a title. Mary does this, and Mary has come to expect me to say, "I don't know." And Sharon said, "Do you have a title?" I said, "Hold on just a second. I'll go figure it out." So I go to my office, and I read the scripture one more time. Now, we call it the Great Commission. You could also call it the Great Command. This morning, I'm calling it the Prime Directive. Okay? Hold on, those of you who are Star Trek fans. I think you're going to find out something about this passage that maybe you have not seen before. I at least hope so. When you begin to look at this, and Jesus has just given them this command, this great commission, this directive, you find out that Jesus tells them that this directive is backed up by his authority. That's what he says. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, please understand that when he says this, when Jesus makes this statement, this becomes the foundation. This becomes the foundation of everything that is about to come. And before he tells them that he is going to be sending them, he reminds them in this directive, he reminds them who is sending them. I think sometimes we fail to realize that fact. Or as I said earlier, maybe we've heard it to the point that it no longer registers that when we go and when we do what we're supposed to do, we're not going in our own authority. We are going in his authority. We are carrying out his command. Let me put it this way. If a supervisor comes to you at work, or a teacher or somebody comes to you and they say, I want you to do this. Oh, yeah, I'll get to that. I mean, I understand that. You know, it's okay, I'll get it done. But if the CEO of a company or the principal or whoever comes to you and they say, I want you to do this, and you are doing this for me, whole different situation. We have gone from somewhere, maybe here, you know, you are here. We've gone... we've gone from somewhere, maybe, you know, here. We've gone to here. It's no longer this mid-level person saying, I want you to do this for me. We have moved to the supervisor. We moved from the supervisor to the CEO, and Jesus here with his authority. And he says it. All authority belongs to me. I am sending you. You're not going in your own strength. What you're doing, you're representing him. It's not your opinion that he's asking for. It's his authority, under divine authority. Now, let me say this. When you go, you're going under all of heaven's authority at that point in time. All of heaven is backing you up. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't have to feel confident every time. You just need to remember who sent you. Sometimes we don't follow through. Sometimes we feel unqualified or underqualified. Sometimes we think, well, I don't know enough, or maybe I've made too many mistakes, or what if I say the wrong thing? Let me step to the side here for just a second, okay? I know where it's underlined, so I know where I'm going, okay? Folks, we get this idea that if we say the wrong thing, that we might mess up completely and somebody never turn to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it'll be better to try to say something and even say the wrong thing than to say nothing at all and them go to hell because nobody said anything or did anything. I mean, think about that for just a second. We have this idea, well, if I say the wrong thing, what if I mess up? The mission has never been about our ability. The mission has always been about his authority. Jesus didn't say, well, go when you feel like it. Jesus said, go on my authority. And that changes everything. You see, the authority of Christ means that your witness is not rooted in personality. It's not rooted in charisma. It's not rooted in all of these things that we think about. It's rooted in the risen Lord who reigns over heaven and earth, who is saying to us, go. Wow. You see, that's what it's all about. This is the foundation of it all.
And when you get right down to it, all that we're going to talk about the remainder of the message is based on His authority, not on my authority, not on your authority, not on a denomination's authority. It is based on the authority that Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. It's Jesus, not us. Well, not only is this directive based on His authority, but this directive is very, very clear. This directive is very, very clear. There's nothing ambiguous about what Jesus is saying. He's very clear in how He says, therefore, when you see the word therefore, you have to look and see what it's there for. It's all based on His authority, okay? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He never said in this, go and be impressive. Aren't you glad? You know? He didn't say, go win arguments. Growing up, every time I turned around, growing up in the newspaper, there was usually a little article down there that was talking about, well, this group is going to be debating this group. And they were supposed to be Christians. We don't need to be debating each other. We need to be winning the world. That one in my notes, it just came to me. He said, go and make disciples. And that means that we help people to follow Jesus, not just meet Him. For too long, we've had this idea that if we can just get people saved, that everything is okay. No, that's not what Jesus just said. Jesus said, go and make disciples. It's not just about converting people. It's about allowing the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do a transforming work in them. You see, a true disciple is not just someone who makes a decision in a moment. It's someone whose whole life is being reshaped over time by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. You and I, first, are called to be disciples. You and I are called first and foremost to be followers of Jesus. We are to be the people who are becoming more and more like Jesus. That's Pastor Jack said that a couple of weeks ago. This thing of discipleship is more than just some mental assent or some sort of agreement to be part of the church. Jesus has expectations of those who follow Him that they would lay down their lives for Him. Someone said a convert raises a hand. A disciple changes a life. A convert says, I believe. A disciple says, I follow. A convert may want heaven. A disciple wants Jesus. That's good. Wish I had said it. A convert raises a hand. A disciple changes a life. A convert says, I believe. A disciple says, I follow. A convert may want heaven. A disciple wants Jesus. And there is a huge difference in all of that. And Jesus says that we're to go into all the nations. That means that nobody is outside the reach of the gospel. Now, we have a hard time thinking about the world. Okay, so let's bring it in real close. That means that your coworkers or those people that you go to school with, that means your neighbor, that means that family member that you've been praying for, That means that person that you may think is so far gone that they'll never come to Jesus. That means that EGR person. And for those of you who don't know what EGR means, it means extra grace required. And we all have those EGR people. We all have those people that we see them coming and we go another way. Don't we? Or we see their name come up on the phone. A lot of the time, we say, Lord, send me to the nations, but please don't make me go talk to Barbara in accounting. I don't think we have a Barbara here, do we? You know, I'll go to Africa, Lord, but please don't make me sit down with that guy that talks about his cat all the time. And the honest truth is, folks, sometimes the people that we have the hardest time thinking about and dealing with are those people who sit at our own dinner table. This is not original either. The Great Commission does not come with an exclusion list. You see, it is up to us. It's up to us to go to whomever it may be. Even the difficult ones, even the awkward ones, even the stubborn ones, even the relatives who still bring up stuff that was done in the past. It is still our responsibility to go. And let me say this, your responsibility in all of this is just to be faithful. Just to be faithful. We have this idea, oh, I got to do this, and if they don't get saved, then I fail. No. It's our responsibility to be faithful. It's not our responsibility to force results. Our responsibility is to be faithful to the mission. You know? You don't have the ability to change someone's heart, but you do have the ability to be kind. You do have the ability to say what you can say when you can say it. When the door opens, you have that ability. It is He who will change hearts, not us. We also have this idea that the Great Commission is really for those people who either stand behind a microphone, hold a microphone, or something like that, or stand in front of a class. We have this idea that that's what this is all about. Jesus never specifically said to any one group of people except those who are followers. I want to ask you to raise your hand this morning if you are a follower. Come on, smile. I got real close, didn't I? You know? Jesus' call is not just about geography either. Jesus' call is about the world. You see, that does mean that we might invite somebody to church. It does mean that we might take a pie across the street. It does mean that if we see someone who's upset and crying, that we go and put an arm around them and say, "Can I pray for you today?" I found out a long time ago that discipleship really does not happen in this room. Discipleship more than likely happens in kitchens, at gas pumps, in hospital rooms, on the telephone. It happens when you and I don't know what to do and you and I don't know what to say. You don't have to have a seminary degree to say, "Can I pray for you?" You don't. It doesn't take some theology exam or going before a board of ministry to say to somebody, "Jesus changed my life and He'll change yours." You have a testimony, don't you? I hope you do. I hope you remember when Jesus came into your heart and life. I hope you remember how He changed your life. I hope you would be willing to say to somebody, "I was in the same situation, but here's what happened." And sometimes you don't have to say anything. This is not to give you a cop-out, okay? Sometimes you just need to simply walk the walk and talk the talk. And live in such a way that they can see that there is something different about your life than the way you used to be. You look at these disciples. I mean, Jesus, let me read this to you one more time. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, please remember, okay? Please remember that this is the same crew that he's talking to that wanted to call down fire from heaven on people because they didn't accept Jesus. This is the same crew that one of them took a sword and cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. This is the same crew that went into hiding. They had to grow into this thing. They had to begin to do what Jesus asked them to do and told them to do in small measures. And then they were able to go when the Holy Spirit came and they were able to flow into the streets. And all those people got saved that day. I mean, it's very clear. You may not like how I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus didn't stutter when he said this. Okay? We're going to make disciples. That's very clear. I've kind of already touched on it. I'm going to go back to it because that's how the Scripture goes. But look at the last part of verse 20. Okay? And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We are sustained by His presence. It's by His authority. It's very clear. But in the going and in the doing, we are sustained by His presence. And I'm just going to be honest about it, okay? Here, let's just put it all on the out here on the table, so to speak. What I'm talking about can be very intimidating. You could have said amen. It would have been okay. I mean, it can be. It can be very intimidating. What if they reject me? What if I don't know what to say? What if I mess it up? What if I look foolish? What if they ask a question that I can't answer? Jesus says, I'm with you. You don't go into any conversation. You don't go into any witness experience. You don't go into any of these things. If you're going in the name of Jesus, you do not go alone. See? Have you ever noticed kids? I mean, you're trying to put them to bed, which is a miracle of God if it happens anyway, you know. But especially if you're somewhere strange that they don't know, and you know you try to put them to bed, and they come and say, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid." You go on and do that. Go to bed. I'm afraid. And you go and take their hand, and you walk them into that room. It's just as dark now as it was when they first said, I'm afraid. Just as scary probably maybe in their mind's eye as it was when they came and said, I'm afraid. But do you know why they go with you? And I know it's because you're making them. But do you know why they go with you and they're willing to do that? Because somebody bigger than they are is with them. That ought to do something to you. Somebody bigger than we are is with us in all of these things. You see, the room didn't change, but the presence did. Do you know why today in some countries where people will pay for their Christianity with their life, do you know why they're able to do that? It's not because, oh, they're much better people than we are. No, it's because the presence is with them. It's because God is there. He is enabling them to face whatever they're facing, to go and do whatever they're having to do. Let me tell you, God is with them. One missionary said, I have never felt the presence of God more strongly than when I was sharing Christ under pressure. Sustained by His presence. We go with Him at our side. I was talking to someone this week And this is what I heard in the conversation. Okay? We have to start treating faith like it is a private hobby and start living it like a public witness. We have to stop measuring success by attendance. Get this, listen, and start measuring it by transformation. Wow. And then I read this just a little while later. The church is not called to be a spiritual cruise ship where everybody is seated, served, and singing about the buffet. We are a sent people. We are a commissioned people. We are a church on mission. When a church remembers that, everything changes. We stop asking only, what can I get out of this? And we start asking, who can I bring in? Wow. We stop asking, what can I get out of this? And start asking, who can I bring in? The only thing you're going to take to heaven with you are the people who came to Jesus because of you. The old song says, shall I go an empty handed? Shall I meet my Savior so? Wow. From time to time that song haunts me. Application. I told you in the introduction that this week, as I was working on the sermon, I had worked for 2 days without a tile. I told you that Sharon, was, as she was putting the bulletin together, asked me for a title, and I told her the scripture, and I didn't have a title, so I went back to the office. Sharon will tell you this. I went back to the office and read the scripture again. It's a commission. It's a command. It is our Lord's prime directive. Now, you're going to say, William, this is about to ruin the entire sermon for you, okay? If you're a Star Trek fan, that title rings a bell. Okay? If not, it won't mean anything to you until I tell you what I'm about to tell you. Okay? In that science fiction series that was in the 60s, you remember? That every day when I got home from high school, I would go and watch it. I wanted to be Captain Kirk. I look like him, don't I? Y'all be nice. The prime directive in that show supposedly prohibited interference in the natural development of alien civilizations. I stood there in my office. It's a commission. It's a command. And then it hit me. It is our Lord's prime directive. Except for the fact that Jesus does not call us to go in and live our lives and do nothing to affect the civilization around us, the people who are around us. Jesus has called us to go in and effect change in the people who are around us. It's just the opposite. You see, we're to impact our culture for Christ. We're to do that. That's part of who we are. That's part of what it means to follow after Jesus. And we're all going to do it in different ways. God has gifted you and you are unique. And He has put unique people in your life that you may be the only one that can do it for them. Well, we haven't talked much about what happened after the resurrection. You say, well, you've already preached a long time. You read this whole chapter, Matthew chapter 28, and you see that Jesus was not talking to a group of spectators. He was talking to His followers. He was talking to His disciples. He was talking to those people who had made a decision in their life that wherever Jesus went, they were going to go. And if you call yourself a follower of Jesus today, then this commission, this command, this directive is for you. It's for me. You see, you begin to look, and of course the ascension happens, and then if you read Luke, you're going to see all that, and then you go to the book of Acts. And you find Luke writing there in chapter 1 of Acts, and he tells Theophilus, he said, "You've got the introduction, now I'm going to give you the reason." Really, I'm serious, that's what he says. Well, that's the bony paraphrase of it anyway. And then you begin to go on down, and the Holy Spirit comes, fills the believers, they flood the streets. All these things begin to happen around them. All of this is because of what happens here in chapter 28 of Matthew. "All authority is given to me, now go." And that's exactly what they did. There is a verse. There is a verse in Acts chapter 17. It's verse 6. The English Standard Version, the ESV and the KJV, they both translate that verse like this. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. The King James Version says it like this. Those who have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Can I tell you what I think is going on? They were carrying out the prime directive. They were doing what Jesus had commanded. They had turned the world upside down. And when you begin to look at what Jesus taught, it's an upside down kingdom. Nothing about it makes sense. If you give your life, you'll gain it. Given it shall be given to you. I mean, none of it seems to add up in all of our addition and subtraction and multiplication and division, but it works in the kingdom of God because Jesus is the one who said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go." And these disciples took him at his word, and they began to go, and they turned their world upside down. Here's the question. Are we changing the world in which we live? Are we changing our world? Or are we simply sitting by on the cruise ship, being served, singing about the buffet, doing nothing to expand the kingdom of God? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. All these things that happened after the resurrection. Wow, it's amazing that those two going to Emmaus, somehow they didn't see, somehow they didn't understand. Sometimes, Lord, we don't see. Sometimes we don't understand. Thomas had his doubts. Sometimes we have our doubts. Sometimes we're right there with those who are willing to worship, but somewhere in the back of our mind there are doubts that we can't seem to shake. Thank you that Thomas, when he saw, he said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you because you've seen and you believe. But even more blessed are those who have not seen, will not see, and yet believe." And that's us today. We've not seen, but we do believe. Peter failed you, denied you 3 times. And yet, Lord, at that breakfast that morning, You brought him back to where he needed to be and commissioned him basically to go out and to change his world. It's after Easter, Lord. And you have commissioned us. You have commanded us. You have directed us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You told us, first of all, Lord, that it's under your authority that we do this. But then you told us, lastly, that as we are faithful to do it, that we are going to be sustained by your presence, that you're going to move in us and through us and for us to change the world that is around us. You called us just to be faithful. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us not just to sit and enjoy being served. Help us, oh God, to look at the people that we see with the eyes of Jesus and be ready and willing, even if we make a mess of it, Lord. Help us to be really ready and willing to put an arm around someone, to share our simple testimony. Help us, Lord, to be ready and willing just to live and walk and talk the way that you would. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done for us in this day. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. The one that you just sang about is the one who will go with you. Amen. God bless you. Remember, choir practice this afternoon. Good News small group. It's